Another major economy says its economic growth last quarter was practically non-existent.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Germany said this morning that its economy only grew 0.1% last quarter. That's far less than economists were expecting, and it's just the latest big economy to report stagnant growth. For more on this, we turn to Simon Tilford, who's chief economist with the Center for European Reform. He joins us from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
When you look at this number, 0.1% growth, and then you look at France, 0% growth, Japan, -1.3%, the U.S., 1.3%, are we heading into a global recession here?
I think in terms of the Western developed industrial economies, we're in a depression, frankly. It's very hard to see where growth is going to come from over the next few years. Governments are tapped out. They can't borrow. Monetary policy is as loose as it can be. Interest rates can't be cut any further. The bottom line is that there's a massive amount of debt that needs to be addressed.
Well, how did we go from what economists were calling a global recovery into, as you say, a depression?
I think all talk of recovery over the last 18 months has been exaggerated. Many developed economies still haven't recovered their pre-crisis levels of economic activity. The U.S. is marginally above its pre-crisis level. Germany is marginally above. France, the U.K., Italy, Japan remain well short of pre-crisis levels of output.
What does this mean in the immediate? The fact that Germany's economy is only growing at this rate, far less than what economists were expecting. What does it mean for Europe right now?
It could be positive in that what's been happening over recent months in Germany is a sense of invulnerability, if you like. The German government has said, well, to be honest, whatever happens in the Eurozone, we're going to be okay because our economy's growing, we're doing very well in emerging markets, et cetera, et cetera. Now that German economy has stalled, I think we will see a more informed debate in Germany about what to do about the Eurozone crisis.
Simon Tilford, chief economist with the Center for European Reform, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Well, now to some encouraging news in the world of personal finance here in the U.S. The rate of late credit card payments hit a 17-year low last quarter. The number of payments that were 90 days or more past due slipped to just 0.6%. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Maybe it's because Americans have cut back on the number of cards in their wallets. Maybe it's tighter credit standards. Or it could just be we're finally getting our house of cards, credit cards anyway, in order. At NAB Research, banking analyst Nancy Bush says it's all that, plus banks have cut back limits on existing cards.
There's a combination of new responsibility, new determination on the part of Americans to not consume beyond their means, and number three, a continued, very frantic pace of cleanup by the banks.
So what does this say about the overall economy? If consumers are finally getting ahead of their debt, will they start spending again and spur the economy back to life? Bush says until a few weeks ago, she might have been more optimistic about that.
If you're not sure you're going to have a job in another year, then you probably are not going to go out and, go woohoo and spend a lot on your credit card.
TransUnion, the credit reporting company that issued the new report, says it expects the delinquency rate to continue drifting lower. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in overseas trading this morning, down more than 2% in Germany following that GDP report we were just talking about. Walmart said this morning that its profit jumped more than 5% last quarter, but U.S. sales fell almost 1%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 213 points to close at 11,482.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Well, parts of the Northeast are in for more rain today after record-setting downpours earlier this week. That's just a taste of the extreme weather farmers around the country have been dealing with this year. Flooding for some, drought for others. And the effect is a tight supply of some crops, which means higher prices for consumers. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
there are some fundamental truths of farming, chief among them.
It's all about the weather when it comes to crops.
Joe Prusacki heads the statistics division for the USDA. He says this year's weather has been much kinder to farmers in some parts of the country than others. In states where the heat just parked and sat, forget about it.
We've had quite a bit of acreage, I would use the word abandoned, down like in Texas, up through Oklahoma.
The weather has been a mixed bag for large-scale farmer Terry Jones, who manages corn and soybean farms down in Oklahoma.
The corn crop will probably be less than a half a crop.
But he's also got acres in Iowa, and it's a whole different story there.
It's going to be one of the better years.
Prices are high because supplies are tight. Farmers with crops to sell stand to make some big bucks. Take the corn crop. I ask Iowa State University economist Chad Hart where the big winners are.
Where it looks pretty good right now is my home state of Iowa. Illinois is looking pretty good. So two of our biggest producing corn states.
The losers include farmers whose crops have been hurt by the weather, livestock farmers who need corn to feed their animals, and, well, pretty much the rest of us.
Since most of us in the economy are corn users as opposed to corn producers, that means higher cost to us as we go forward.
Hart says the shaky global economy could slow down demand for corn, but he says so far, supply is falling faster. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, to Stoughton, Massachusetts, which is apparently home to pizza so good it is worth a 1,400-mile drive. A Mississippi man who grew up in Stoughton and really missed the pizza decided last weekend to drive from Mississippi to Massachusetts to buy 150 pies for $1,200. It was a 24-hour drive, but at least he didn't have to stop for food on the way back. Our coverage of the economic turmoil called Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time, continues later today on Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl and online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
9% unemployment, symptom of a diseased but treatable economy, or the new thing?
I teach in a fairly affluent community, but there are still a lot of people who have lost work and are looking for work and have relocated for that, and often unsuccessfully.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Is 9% forever? The story next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.